This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket Cam. We'll head out to the guest line right now and spend a few minutes with a Super Bowl MVP from Super Bowl 39, two-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, and that's Deion Branch here with us back on the Zach Gelb Show. Deion, how are you and the family been, my friend?
Man, good, man. Just real crazy right now. Got a little light birthday, man, but everything is good so far.
Whose birthday is it?
Oh, it's my niece, man. My wife's brother's daughter. So we got a house full of women. There's estrogen everywhere. So I was lucky enough to break away for a little bit.
Well, you're welcome. Did you guys cut the cake yet? Is my question.
No, not yet. Not yet. Everything's going pretty good so far. That you know, the youngsters are running around, so that's pretty good.
Well, we'll get you in and out. Deion Branch is here with us. You may want to stay here for 15, 20 minutes. I don't know.
Hey, I'm telling you, no.
So give me your reaction.
More so my wife.
Yeah.
Leave her stuck with all the kids. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Other than that, it'd be cool. It'll be good.
Daddy duty does call. You'll get back to that in just a second. So
yes,
this has been a crazy offseason, but when we look at it from a Patriots standpoint, Tom Brady was there for 20 years. We know the GOAT and had that great run with Bill Belichick. Now he leaves and he goes down to Tampa. What was your reaction when that all did go down?
I was shocked, but I also understand Big Bro's, his situation and him doing what's best for himself and his family, and I understand what the organization is going through as well. You know, they feel they got to move forward, you know, and time has come. Tom has dedicated and gave the Patriots his all for 20 years. And, you know, sometimes, a change of scenery may be a great thing. It may be something that's needed. You know, I don't know. Tom and Giselle sat down and probably discussed a lot of different things, just as much as Tom and Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick sat down before the decision was made. You know, so you better – we all know that it was handled cordially, and I, you know, probably wasn't the best decision that the team wasn't, you know, they wasn't prepared to hear, but they can respect that. And I think overall, you know, Big Brother's decision, it was his decision. And I think it's just a change of scenery for himself and also his family. Just new goals. You follow me? I don't know what else Tom could have done, but just gave another Super Bowl. You know, just brought another Super Bowl. I mean, that's been the norm now. So I think just another challenge for Tom, you know, just want to see if he can go off elsewhere and possibly make this happen again. You follow me? Just to take the GOAT and put it somewhere on a different stratosphere. You know, what would we call it if these guys go off and win the Super Bowl in Tampa this year? What would he be actually considered? I mean, is he the greatest in all sports? You follow me?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Now, you said it was cordial with Brady and the Patriots. A lot is made about that relationship with Bill and with Tom. You've played for Bill and Tom twice in your career, two different stints. What do you think the relationship is now? Because there's so much made about that.
Yeah, and I think overall, you know, I want you to take it the wrong way. The cordial side of it, I think they understand, and at the same time, they also respect the decision. you know, I don't think it was a situation blown out of proportion where guys were flipping over tables and desks like that when they were having a conversation about, hey, tell them how you're feeling, or, you know, what is the organization planning on doing? You follow me? So that's the side of me saying the cordial side. But as far as I think overall, there's a lot of respect amongst, you know, Tom and Coach Belichick. You know, as a player to another, to a coach, and as a coach to a player. You know, there's a lot of respect there amongst those two guys. You know, you're looking at two guys who are pretty much the best at what they do. Coach Belichick is the best head coach ever. You know, I know a lot of people may disagree with me, but to me, he's the greatest, and Tom is the greatest football player to ever play the game. You know, in my eyes, clearly the best quarterback. Clearly the best quarterback. So, you know, you're looking at two strong-minded individuals, and you know, the decision is going to be respected across the board. You know, I think Tom respect what the organization had to say, how they felt about the situation, and I know the team the situation was mutual. And, you know, they parted ways. There's nothing that can be done, you know.
Deion Branch here with us on the show. You won two Super Bowls with New England. You got the Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 39, made a lot of big catches. Then you spent a few years in Seattle. When you first left New England, what did you realize life away from New England?
Man, you know, you get to see a lot of different things. And one of the things I always speak to people about is the, how can I say it? The attention to detail, the way, you know, the point of emphasis that Coach Belichick put upon the players. Well, put upon the coaches, you know, position coaches, in which they instilled that in us. But we knew all of this stuff was stemming from Coach Belichick. You know, the attention to detail, the point of emphasis that he stressed upon everything. You know, I can't sit and say that happens on every team. I know some coaches try to get certain points across, but in New England, we hit everything. When I tell you we touched on every basis of the game, that happened every week, every offseason, every year. I enjoyed my time in Seattle, but, you know, there were some things that we didn't do in Seattle that caused us a bunch of games that for sure that I know would have been totally different in New England. You know, but I enjoyed it. Seattle was a first-class organization. I enjoyed my time with Coach Homer. It was an amazing time. Enjoyed my time with Coach Mora. And the little time that I had with Pete Carroll, enjoyed that as well. The city was everything. You know, not only just when you're speaking about the coaches, you also got to have the actual players around. So where we slacked at, you know, it's tough to say we slacked at. The coaches are the players. You know, I can't say we didn't win every game. Everybody set out to do that, but that don't happen naturally. But those certain things, the attention to detail, the point of emphasis that Coach Belichick stressed week in, week out, those are the different things that separate you from different teams and the difference between winning and losing, you know?
You wanted to get paid, Deion Branch, and that was a major decision in why you got traded and why you wanted to leave. When you look back at that situation, is there any regret there on not getting the deal done, or is that just how the way that it went down?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I have any regrets, but I just always wonder how things would have shaped out had we been able to get the deal done. You get what I'm saying? And when I was traded, it was a mutual thing. We both understood where the organization was coming from. They understood where my agent and I were coming from as far as contractual, you know, trying to get a deal done. And by me leaving, I think it set up the reunion and made it that much more special upon me coming back. Now, we made it to a Super Bowl, but we didn't actually win another one, you know, my last 3-4 years with the Patriots when I returned. But it was just such a great moment in time, and I thought everything was perfect. We both, I had a conversation with everybody in the front office about, like, man, I wonder how these 4 years would have been had we got this thing done. You get what I'm saying? How many Super Bowls would we have won?
And well, you definitely would have won another one, Deion, because that AFC Championship game in 2006, you guys probably would win if you're on the field.
Exactly. I would think so. I want to at least hope that I had enough to contribute and for us to pull that game off. But, you know, I was trading, and it was understood, you know, both sides. It was very cordial and respectful, you know. That's why the trade returning wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big issue. It wasn't hard. It was just trying to figure out the nuances. But as far as getting the deal done, that was the easiest part. Me wanting to come back, the organization wanting me to come back, all of that was intact.
Did you ever have a conversation with Belichick about what happened in the past when you brought back, or was it, hey, we need you on the field, we just got to get to business?
Upon me coming back, you saying when I was traded?
When you were traded back to New England, the second
when
time.
I was traded back, yeah. I mean, that was the easy. That was very easy. It was just all about can they come to sides as far as what they're going to give up for me and what Seattle was willing to accept. You get what I'm saying? As far as having the conversation, and once it was done, it was mutual. You know, Coach Carroll called me in, and Mr. Snyder, that was a very respectful conversation. We had a great conversation. And, and the trade was done. And I respect those guys to the utmost.
Before we let you run, Deion Branch, Cam Newton going to New England now. What do you expect out of Cam?
I mean, I expect big things. I said this earlier last week. I'm just excited to see what Josh McDaniels can come up with this type of athlete. He's been having Tom, the greatest quarterback to play the game. That's the easy part. But the Patriots have never had a dual-threat quarterback such as Cam Newton at the helm. So I'm excited to see, Josh is a brilliant offensive coordinator. This is going to be exciting to see what these guys can create and what they can come up with and see can we make this work in New England. And just to see what it looks like. I'm excited for him. I know Cam is excited for another opportunity. Things didn't pan out the way he wanted in Carolina. I'm sure he's leaving – a legacy there and possibly going off to start another one, man, and we'll see what it looks like. I'm sure the city, the state of Massachusetts, everybody's extra excited just to see what this looks like. And me personally as a fan, I can't wait to see it, man.
I'm curious to see what Julian Edelman's going to do without Tom Brady. What type of year is Jules going to have?
Right. And, I just think about it as the work that those two guys put in. I mean, these are veteran players. Cam is a veteran quarterback experience. Now let's back up, too, because I don't want to just jump the gun and then just say that Cam is an instant starter. We still got Brian Hoyer, who's a guy who's very familiar with the offense, and then Jared, who's done an amazing job, and so many of the veteran players have vouched for him. So there's going to be a great competition. Now let's just put that on the table first. So whoever's the quarterback, I'm sure that Julian and all the other receivers are going to put in a lot of work with these guys. So – what it's going to look like, man, I don't even know, Zach. I wish I can tell you. But me personally, knowing that these guys are going to invest a lot of time, I'm sure they're doing it now as well with each other just to see what this is going to look like. And it's their job to kind of help take a lot of load if Cam is the guy who's selected to start. It's up upon these guys to take the load off of it. He can only do so much, man. This is his first year in this offense. There's only so much. You won't be able to get – you wouldn't see the Tom Brady who actually created this offense, basically. You may get about 80% of that, and then hopefully the rest of his skill set takes over. The rest of his skill set will take over, and Cam, be Superman, as he say.
That's interesting, Deion Branch, because I think Cam going to New England, he's definitely going to start week one, but you're telling me pump the brakes a little bit.
I'm not just saying that he can't start. I'm not saying that he will not start. I'm just saying this is how this is going to shake out. Bill is going to put the best quarterback on the football field. And if these guys are showing great flashes and showing great improvement, and he spoke very highly of Jared, they traded back to get Brian Hoyer, get him back over there. And that's the reason why. His experience in the offense, for one, and his leadership, man. And Brian's a great quarterback. He's one of those guys who gets underestimated, for sure. And, I mean, we know what Cam can do. We already know Cam's a former Super Bowl MVP. I mean, not Super Bowl, a former NFL MVP. We know what Cam can do. We know what he brings to the table. Is this all about now? How much of this offense can he grasp within this? I mean, you got to think about it. This COVID didn't help. It's not helping the situation, this pandemic. So, clearly, in my eyes, right now, Jared and Brian have the upper hand on that from that perspective. Now it's just all about once they're allowed to get back in, get within a team environment, get out and practice and go through certain things. Now we'll see what that looks like. You know, how much of this has Cam picked up? How much of this offense has he picked up? How much is the rapport? How much rapport has he built with the receivers? The continuity with the offensive line, you know, with the running backs, things of that nature. So the guys around Cam will be the guys who can take a lot off his shoulders. They're the ones that's going to make this transition a little bit more easier for him, you know, by the plays that they're making on the offensive side of the ball. We shouldn't feel like Cam got to come in and make every play.
Last one for you, Deion Branch, because I know you got to run and get back to this birthday party, which I'm jealous I was not invited to. Buccaneers and Patriots this year. Tell me how you think it's going to go for both teams.
You know, honestly, I think they're both in a tough division. Clearly, we know Tampa Bay's in a, I would say, it's a tough division. I think the Patriots may have a tougher time being that Buffalo's gotten better. Miami is better. You get what I'm saying? The Jets are right there. You know, I think Tampa Bay just have to deal with New Orleans. I'm not knocking anybody else. I'm not knocking the Falcons, and I'm not knocking Carolina. I just think that if you're looking at both divisions, I think the Patriots have a tougher division. But I think New Orleans, in my eyes, I think New Orleans may end up still winning that division. And I think the Patriots will find a way to actually win it. So as far as the Patriots already in, I think both teams make the playoffs, being that for sure now that they got the seven teams now. You follow me? So, record wise, I'm saying 10-6, 11-5. That's a decent year. 10-6, 11-5. They're both in the playoffs, and that's when the season starts. We'll see what happens from there. You know, now am I sitting there saying both of these teams are Super Bowl bound? Nah, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But you know, Bice, I'm always gonna pull for my Patriots. You follow me?
I got what you're saying.
Pull
my
for my Patriots, yeah, for sure. But I think both of these guys, you know, 11-5, 10-6, that's a decent year. That's a pretty good year. That's a pretty good year. I think the Buccaneers will be happy with that. The Patriots may be, it's a little so-so. You know, 11-5 is probably more so the range what we're the expectation in New England. You know, winning the division, 11-5, 12-4, things of that nature. That's what we're used to. You follow me? So, we'll see how it goes, man. We'll see how it goes. All this stuff is all predicated based on how healthy these guys, how healthy is the team, how healthy is the quarterback, you know, and that's what it is.
Well, you be well. Get back to the dad duty. Get back to the uncle duty, and you have some fun handing out that cake, all right?
No problem. Appreciate you, fellas. Thank you all.
No problem. There's Deion Branch joining us. Interesting. Now, there's going to be a competition. Cam's going to win that job. If Stidham or if Hoyer starting week one, unless if Cam is just totally shot, shoulder gone, foot gone, or if, God forbid, he gets COVID, if all three of these guys are healthy, Cam's starting week one. Even if Cam is 85% of himself, he's starting week one. There's no doubt about that in my mind. What will that team be? I don't know. They could be anywhere from 7 wins to 10 wins, probably, is the range that I give it. Could they win that division? Yeah, they could win that division. But right now, Buffalo's a better team. And you compare the two divisions, the South is better. Saints are a Super Bowl team. Tampa could be a Super Bowl team. Falcons, they're another team, anywhere between 7 to 10 wins. Panthers, they'll be competitive, but they won't be that good. In the AFC East, Miami probably will start the year with Fitzpatrick, then go to Tua. They were a gritty football team last year, but they're not a great football team. And the Jets, I can't expect anything out of the Jets. If the Jets are good this year, it's because of one player, that's Sam Darnold. Seriously, like, you look at that Jets offense, who's he throwing the football to? Who's Darnold throwing the football to? Rashad Perriman? You don't have Robbie Anderson anymore. That Jets offense, it's got a lot of problems. Now, you do have Le'Veon Bell. But if I am defending the Jets, I'm loading the box and I'm making Sam throw the football. He's got Perriman, Jamison Crowder, Denzel Mims. Not terrible wide receivers, but none of those wide receivers are true number one wide receivers. So I look at both those divisions. I think the NFC South has more depth in it. Their third best team is better than the AFC East third best team. And the two top teams in the AFC East, the Patriots and the Bills, neither of those teams are Super Bowl contending teams. But good stuff with Dion. I really wanted his perspective as we got it on the Belichick-Brady relationship, because that was the guy that won a Super Bowl MVP, and then it got ugly. It got real ugly. He wasn't getting the deal that he was getting that he wanted. Ends up holding out, gets traded to the Seahawks, a bunch of grievances in there as well. Then left, and then wanted to come back as well. And you could hear it. It was on his mind. It was definitely on his mind what life would have been if he would have stayed in New England. You got to think that 2006 AFC Championship game where Brady was thrown to the late Rishay Caldwell and I think Doug Gabriel too. Deion Branch is there. Where he was at that stage of his career, if he's healthy, you got to think they win that game. And they blew a massive lead to the Indianapolis Colts. Let me pull up Deion Branch's stats real quickly. So, when he left New England, so he goes to Seattle 2006, puts up 53 receptions, 725 yards, plays 14 games. 2007, 11 games, 661, 4 touchdowns. 2008, 8 games, 30 receptions, and 412 yards, 4 touchdowns. 2009, 45 for 437, 2 touchdowns. And in 2010, he played for 2 teams. Goes for $112 in 4 games in Seattle, then goes back to New England, 9 games, 706 yards. And then the next year, plays 15 games, 51 receptions, 702 yards. Was a different player in New England than what he was in Seattle. All right, we'll break here. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. Been some conversation about the Knicks potentially landing them. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's glad you're still here. Now back to The Zach Gelb Show.
Tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Utah and Ole Reign take the pitch as the knockout stages inch closer in the NWSL Challenge Cup. Watch it live on CBS All Access and catch it again at 7 on CBS Sports Network. I was reading Mark Berman. I guess this was a few days ago, but I saw this story surface yesterday, and we just didn't get to it. So Damian Lillard's a free agent in 2025. Devin Booker, a free agent in 2024. Here's what Mark Berman said on Damian Lillard. If the scoring point guard Lillard asks for a trade, it's believed the Knicks or Lakers would be his choices. Now, Damian Lillard in the past has passionately talked about staying in Portland and not chasing a championship. If he gets traded to the Knicks, I don't think that is chasing a championship because of how abysmal the Knicks have been for a long time. If he goes to the Lakers, then people will say, he's chasing a championship, assuming LeBron's still there, assuming at least Anthony Davis is still there as well. Who knows how that will go down? Who knows when that will go down? But when you're a player like Damian Lillard, even though you're under contract, it doesn't mean much in the NBA. Because Paul George was under contract, re-signed to that big celebration. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, it's OKC, he's coming back, what an occasion, rah, 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 it's awesome, unbelievable, palpable buzz, baby, fantastic.
Oh, America, are you serious? It's showtime, baby, here we go.
Like, that's what Dick Vitale would be saying if he was at that celebration with one Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Then the next year, Kawhi, you want me to come to L.A.? All right, peace, OKC. I'm getting traded from OKC to the Los Angeles Clippers. So with Damian Lillard, until he leaves Portland, if he does leave Portland, he's always going to be asked and it's always going to be speculated, do you want to stay? And no matter what he says, it's always going to come back up in conversation. I would love to see Damian Lillard stay in Portland. I would love to see Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum bring a championship to Portland. But I don't think it's going to happen. Even last year when they got to the Western Conference Finals and played well at certain points in those games, they're 20 points almost each and every game, they didn't win a game. So for me to think that they're going to win a championship, it's unlikely.
And they have a good roster. They have a talented roster. Even with their injuries this year, and I know that they're getting a shot to make the playoffs, they didn't have a good season. Maybe the ninth seed if the season ended today. But they're a team that next year, if that core is still intact and if they're healthy, they'll be a top five, top, what, six team in the Western Conference, if not better? But what is that really saying? Not saying much, because you're not inching any closer to a championship. So when does Lillard, where before he said he doesn't want to leave Portland, he wants to win a championship there, and he's so committed to the franchise, when does he reach a boiling point where he says to himself, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to flip-flop on that, do a 180, and I want out. And if so, will the Knicks and the Lakers still be his options? Now, I've heard him say before his favorite place to play on the road is Madison Square Garden, so maybe there's some appeal there. For the Lakers, it's obvious why you would want to go there, but that's one player that could be available. The other is Devin Booker. Now, Devin Booker, Leon Rory, close from the agent-client relationship. Leon's two biggest clients in recent memory, Karl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker, two of his bigger clients. Now, in this same article by Mark Berman, he said, however, since Leon Rose was hired as president of the Knicks, the player to watch out for the most is Suns combo guard Devin Booker, according to league sources. If Rose hires Tom Thibodeau, though, Towns, Karl Anthony Towns also talked about this, who's also a former Rose client, no longer makes sense because of their history. Remember, Thibodeau was the coach and president of the Timberwolves for a few years. See, when I see this stuff, it's fun to talk about, but a lot of things have to happen. The Knicks have to reshape and rebrand their image, and it's not going to happen overnight. Now, it could expedite that process if they get a Lillard, if they get a Booker, and maybe more players will want to go there. But with the Knicks, they're a ticking time bomb. I want Leon Rose to do well. I want World Wide West to do well. I don't know, though, how much the man upstairs, Mr. Dolan, though, is going to give them their freedoms to get that job done. Now, he'll give them 2 years. These 2 years, I think he gets a wash. I think him and West, they get a free pass. And then entering year number three, I'm not saying you got to be a dominant team. I'm not saying you got to be a championship team. But if you want to keep Dolan from blocking what you're trying to accomplish, you got to be a playoff team. Now, that could be a seventh or eighth seed. The way I think you fix the Knicks, though, in these next 2 years, you really got to draft well and then attract players. And it doesn't have to simply just be free agents to attract players. You could have something like this happen where you improve the image of the franchise the next 2 years. People like Leon Rose and World Wide West, because they've had great relationships with players, and people go, I think something is getting built there that's special. So I'm going to try to force my way out, and it's in New York, which could help. Right now, though, to expect that Lillard's going to be playing on the Knicks or Booker's going to be playing on the Knicks or Karl Anthony Towns going to be playing on the Knicks, it's tough to do. Because it wasn't that long ago where there was a report that, oh, the Knicks are interested in Jason Kidd to bring Giannis Antetokounmpo, to try to lure Giannis Antetokounmpo. Whenever there's a big name, the Knicks are always thrown out there. Very rarely, though, do we see in the last 20 years the big name join the Knicks. You've had Amari Stoudemire. You had Carmelo Anthony. Stoudemire was free agency. Carmelo was via trade. But a lot of times it's guys you hear they want to go to the Knicks, and they never end up actually going to the Knicks. Marco Belletti's here. Can Marco hear me, by the way? Marco?
Yeah, I hear you, Zach.
Oh. By the way, congratulations. I was listening to you this weekend, or maybe it was a week ago. I didn't know that you had another child.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, my daughter Madeline was born on June 12th.
So June 12th, congratulations. So now you have two kids in the household?
Two kids in the house. My son turned 6 2 days after she was born.
Wow. How was the birthday party this year for your son?
Interesting, because we were still in the hospital with my daughter. She had a little bit of a jaundice thing, no big deal, but we had to stay for that rest of the day. So unfortunately, we didn't see my son on his birthday and had to wait to celebrate until the next day.
But your kid, I feel from, you know, spending time with you during the weekend overnights, your kid, if I remember, kind of just rolls with the punches, you know, he kind of gets it, right?
At all times. That's one thing I'll give him. He, I mean, the new sister. We didn't get him to see him on his birth. Nothing phases him. He just rolls with everything. Everything rolls off his back, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
So what did he actually do on his birthday since mom and dad weren't able to see him?
Well, he hung out with my parents. He was with them for about 2.5 days, I guess. I mean, because we went to the hospital. Now it's blurry, but it was Thursday night into like Friday morning, early Friday morning. So we dropped him off at my parents probably like 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30. And then we didn't see him until Monday morning when I finally went to go get him. And we didn't come home from the hospital until late Sunday night.
Okay. And everyone's healthy now, I'm assuming?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's great. Thanks. And he was having fun because with all this craziness, he hadn't seen my parents in, what, 3 months? So I think he was just thrilled to get out of the house and see somebody different other than, you know, my wife and I.
What was the big gift this year? Was it a big gift?
He got so spoiled this year. He's on a dinosaur kick. I don't know what. I mean, he always loved dinosaurs, but this year, man, woof, the last couple months. So he's gotten a bunch of, like, Jurassic World dinosaurs over the last couple months. I couldn't even tell you the names. He knows them all. I couldn't tell you the names right now.
It's got to be tough on a kid because those birthdays at such a young age, people and a lot of kids enjoy them. To not be able to see your friends during all this, it's got to be tough. Like a simple event like a birthday, you can't even have a birthday party anymore.
He was disappointed. I mean, we talked about it a little bit before it happened to try to explain. I mean, he's been doing everything with the virtual, you know, school and everything the last 3-4 months. Like, it's weird for kids. I mean, with kindergarten, I was teaching them all day. So it's been funky that he hasn't seen his friends and family, and everybody's been going through it. But when I did have to sit him down and kind of explain, like, no birthday party this year, so, like, family's not coming over, that was one of the first times through this whole thing that he kind of actually, like, broke down a little bit. He started crying. He was like, why can't we do this? And I explained it, and, I mean, no joke, within 5 minutes, he stopped sobbing. He was kind of like, okay, but we'll still be together. And that was it. And he's been, you know, fine ever since.
Well, glad to hear everything's going well. Once again, congratulations to you and your entire family. And now updating us with all the latest in the world of sports, the very talented, one of my favorites, Marco Belletti.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Zach, this report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. DeSean Jackson of the Eagles feeling the heat after posting an anti-Semitic message on social media, and this was his response afterwards.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and you know, feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to, you know, first off, extend an apology on behalf of me and what I stand for, because, you know, I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down.
Now, the Eagles have responded. They called the post offensive and harmful, and they'll take appropriate action. Meanwhile, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in an interview with Fortune Brainstorm Health, said they're prepared for more positive tests for COVID-19. Admitted, though, once everyone's in the bubble in Orlando, if more positive tests were to come along, it would be concerning. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes feeling pretty good after inking the richest contract in sports history, and you could just make over $500 million in that 10-year extension.
Like V said, there's trust amongst everybody. As much as I trust in them, they trust in me. And we were able to go out there and get this contract done the right way that not only gives me the security that I've always wanted, but also allows opportunity for the team to be great around me the entire duration of my career.
Also, the Browns and Olivier Vernon reportedly restructuring his contract, saving Cleveland a little bit from that $15.5 million he was guaranteed to make this year. Ryder Cup reportedly postponed to next year due to coronavirus. And Alabama offense coordinator Steve Sarkisian underwent heart surgery last week, but is expected to make a full recovery. I'm Marco Belletti.
Can baseball survive the 2020 season? Former closer Brad Lidge stops by and lets us know.
Tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Tiki and Tierney.
CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Earlier I talked about DeSean Jackson, and I shared with you an experience that I had to go through where I was met face-to-face with anti-Semitism for being Jewish. And my response, even though I was hurt and even though I was annoyed, was I didn't want the person that said something to me to be expelled from the university that I was attending, but I wanted to have that person get educated on the matter, and I wanted that person to better himself because what he tweeted at the time was totally unacceptable. And what DeSean Jackson posted today, I don't know what his intentions were, but what he posted today was very stupid. And it could offend a lot of people. But maybe this is just the way that I approach things, and it's a case-by-case basis. I'll be the first one to say that. My reaction today was, I don't want to see DeSean Jackson get cut. I don't. Will he get suspended? Will he get fined? We'll have to wait and see. But I saw a tweet right before we got back on air from the break, and it's from David Adelman. And he said he just had a FaceTime call with DeSean Jackson and Michael Rubin. Michael Rubin, of course, runs Fanatics and also is a part-time owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, minority owner of the Sixers. And DeSean apologized for his hurtful comments. That's what David said. And David's also the chair of the Philadelphia Holocaust Memorial. He offered to host DeSean Jackson for an education session and tour of the plaza, and he accepted. And David went on to say he's confident we can turn this into a positive together. So I think those things are very encouraging. Now, actions are going to speak louder than words, and we're going to have to see how DeSean Jackson is going to better himself. That's where I stand on that front. All right, let me get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
When we get away from sports, when we get away from health and safety, the thing that has annoyed me the most during the coronavirus pandemic, this past summer, I was supposed to actually go to a Ringo Starr concert. I've seen Ringo before in person. A good college buddy of mine, his dad is best friends with Ringo Starr, and they go on tour together, and my friend's father sells Ringo Starr's artwork, and he's friendly with all the guys and the all-stars in Ringo's band. And last time, because of something that happened in New York at the venue that they were at, I couldn't meet him because their backstage policy was all crazy. This year, I was supposed to go to the concert. I was actually going to meet him. Now, I was so looking forward to this, so excited for this to happen. It's a Beatle, all right? If you could have an opportunity to meet Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr, you do so. So I was all jacked up for that. Last time I saw him in concert, he was great. And today, the reason why I'm bringing up Ringo Starr in a sports radio program, Ringo Starr is turning 80 years old. And when my friend told me that he knew Ringo Starr and that his dad was best friends with Ringo Starr, I kind of like didn't believe it at first when you're in college and someone says that, especially when you don't really know the person yet at that time, and this person ended up becoming one of my good friends. And for his 21st birthday, I was actually asked to participate in this video. So I record this video. Hey, the kid's name is Zach, too. Zach, enjoy your 21st birthday. Now you can finally, like, drink a beer with me legally. Like, one of those cheesy jokes. And I'm watching this video, and Ringo Starr's at the end of the video. He goes, hey, Zach, it's Uncle Ringo. Peace and love. Said a bunch of other stuff and wished him a happy birthday. So today, we'll wish Ringo Starr a happy birthday and give him a stock up as he turns the big 8-0. With Patrick Mahomes' 10-year contract worth $503 million, up to $503 million, we get in this conversation, what does this mean long-term for the league? I don't think left and right we're going to start seeing 10-year contracts be handed out.
the average annual value for a lot of the quarterbacks, it's going to go up because of this. I'm not saying people are going to eclipse right away what Mahomes is getting, but you can at least ask for it and then work your way down from that, how negotiations work. But with how the league is currently landscaped, and you look at the top quarterbacks in the league that are going to get long-term contracts, like a guy like Russell Wilson just got paid. So he'll get another contract eventually, but it's not going to be for 10 years. He's already 31. But you see some of these younger quarterbacks. Dak is due money. Dak's looking for a four-year deal. Who knows how this changes his approach. Carson Wentz just got paid. But I see two guys, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Both who suffered, Deshaun Watson who suffered injuries before. You know, that torn ACL. Lamar Jackson, he's played the last 2 years and has been so dominant, won the league MVP last year. But when those guys are up for contracts, are they going to go this 10-year approach? And are they going to get the 10-year approach? Are they going to get a 10-year deal? But really, when you look at it, for Mahomes, right now, when I think of young quarterbacks in the league, the only two guys that probably benefit from this right now, being proven, talented guys on a football field, it's Deshaun Watson and it's Lamar Jackson. And for Watson, he's a free agent. He has two more years under contract. This year, next year, then becomes a free agent in 2022. And Lamar Jackson, he was in the Baker draft, so he's 2 years in the league. So he has 3 years left because 2 years on the four-year deal and then 1 year for the fifth-year option, which they'll pick up and exercise. So he's got 3 years left in that contract. We'll see after this third year if Lamar Jackson gets a new deal done. And for Deshaun Watson, I would try to hammer that out now, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But a stock up to Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, they benefit from the Patrick Mahomes contract. Here's a wild story, and this has to relate to the Patrick Mahomes contract. I was reading this earlier today on CBS. There was a lady working in a liquor store, and her boss comes in and says, I think Patrick Mahomes is having an extension. You know, an extension happened. This was yesterday. Because an executive for the Kansas City Chiefs went in looking for six bottles of Dom Perignon champagne. And all he said was, I can't tell you who it is, but there's a big signing today, and it's not Chris Jones. And then it was actually the lady that was working in the stores, after she was told that story, she was then the one that said, so my guess, it's the Mahomes deal. Can you imagine? You're a Chiefs fan. You're working in a liquor store. An executive for the Chiefs walks in. I need six bottles of champagne. We're celebrating today. Oh, you work for the Kansas City Chiefs? I'm sure this person is recognizable. Oh, what are you guys celebrating? Well, it's not the Chris Jones signing, but it's someone I can't tell you about. Hello, Patrick Mahomes. And then you find out it's a 10-year deal. Stock up to Katie Camlin, who was the lady working at the liquor store. She had the report up 90 minutes prior to Adam Schefter breaking it. Very unlikely person to get the first news there, the inside scoop. Could always get some inside scoop at the liquor stores. Let's go to the negatives. DeAndre Hopkins. Absolutely love DeAndre Hopkins. Tremendous wide receiver. The Houston Texans should have never traded him. But today he tweets out 24 reasons why Mahomes deserved that. Zero doubts he will win more Super Bowls. Remember, the Texans had a 24-0 lead and then blew it to the Kansas City Chiefs in that playoff game in the divisional round. I get why DeAndre Hopkins could be annoyed with the Texans. I'd be annoyed with the Texans, too. Something happened there with him and Bill O'Brien. But you were a part of that collapse. And to then try to troll the collapse, it's not a good look for you. Very rarely DeAndre Hopkins does wrong. In this case, this was a tweet he probably should have sat out on. Stock down, DeAndre Hopkins. And a stock down to Alex Rodriguez. Not that I have anything to be upset about with Alex Rodriguez, but he's trying to buy the New York Mets. Hey, anyone better than the Wilpons? I'm okay if it's Alex Rodriguez, but the guy that I really want is Steve Cohen, who paid $150-something million for the pointing man sculpture. The Mets have never spent $155 million on a free agent. So I want to see Steve Cohen become the owner. Nothing against A-Rod, but I don't want A-Rod to get in the way and Steve Cohen not become the eventual owner of the New York Mets. So A-Rod, back off a little bit. You didn't join the Mets as a player. even though I'd be okay if you're the owner, you, J-Lo, and whatever team you're putting together, if it's Mike Rapoli, whoever that may be, but I would much rather have Stevie Cohen. So make sure Steve Cohen becomes the owner. Maybe they hire you to replace Brody Van Wagenen, and you can be, run the baseball operation. Stock down to A-Rod. And that's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio on this Tuesday edition. Very fun show. Always like to thank my crew. Ryan Trace Hickey back in our New York City headquarters. Mikey B on location. Tom D. Benedetto on location as well. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for tweeting and listening and contributing to the program. And a big thank you to Dion Branch for joining us earlier this hour. We'll be back tomorrow. We got a big show for you. Mercedes Lewis going to join us. Carrington Harrison's going to join us too. And Ian Eagle. Talk tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm Zach Gill. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.